In today's economy, we see more and more job openings being published in the classified section of the newspaper. If you're a web surfer, you've probably noticed dozens of websites that are posting more jobs, better jobs, higher paying jobs. So truly, our economy is booming again. So I have a question. Have you ever needed to look for a job? Or perhaps some of you might be looking right now for a job. After tonight, I might be looking for a job. But you know, of course, there's several things involved in selecting the right job. You don't just take the first thing that comes up, or at least you certainly shouldn't. And you don't even take the first one where you would get hired, unless it's the only one where you're going to get hired. No, of course, we plan these things, we think about these things, and if you're like most, you look through the paper and you see the jobs that are listed, and you check by job title to see if you're interested in that, and then you look at the job description to see whether or not you might qualify, and if all that fits, you dig a little deeper with maybe a phone call or an interview. And you check things like the company's stability, the health insurance plan, the retirement program, you know, the 401k, et cetera, the things that are important to us. And of course, wages. And those are the things that you're checking just to see if you would be willing to work there. Interesting that that doesn't count, of course, the fact that the company is looking into you to see whether or not you might qualify to meet their standards. So this evening, I'd like to go over the process of job finding positions in the church. And the title of my message this evening is Wanted Bright Lights. Okay, fine. The short video we watched might be a bit overkill, all right, as to the visual that I really wanted to represent, but it's about being a bright light, and I wondered if you noticed in watching that video that there were some who were bright lights that affected others as they walked by them, ran by them, you know, just chatted with them or whatever they did. And I don't know if you saw that one little clip there where there were like seven or eight with their lights that were lit and they were holding hands and they were doing this back and forth. And there was one guy with no lights on. Did you see? Did you notice that? What? Play it again. No, I'm just kidding. Makes a difference. And so we start with the name of the job title being offered by the church, which is Wanted Bright Lights. And if you'd care to turn with me in your Bible to the book of Matthew, we'll start there in chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, please. And I asked Ryan this evening if he was going to put anything up on the screen that he would use the New American Standard, which is the Bible that Jesus carried. So in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, Jesus himself is speaking to us, and he's saying, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under a peck measure, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who enter the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." So these aren't just words that are written on paper. These are words that are part of a job description, but more than that, they are the words that were spoken by the CEO himself. Jesus, in describing the type of person he's looking for to fill the position, and he's speaking to people like you and like me, people that stood there, sat there, listened to one of the most famous messages written, which is the Sermon on the Mount. And we know that God sent Jesus, his Son, who not only died for our sins so we could be made righteous in the eyes of God, but while Jesus was living on the earth, he instructed us as to what our job is. And not only that, at the same time, He was an example of how we were to perform it. You might call it like OJT, on-the-job training. So part of those lights that you saw in the video, they represent our job description. And part of the lights also represent the way we're to do our job. Enthusiastically. I'm so glad I'm a Christian. I got saved. I was just telling somebody earlier this evening. I got saved April 24th, 1978. And boy, I'm just so glad I'm a Christian. Are you Christian? Oh, okay. Well, that's good. I'm sure glad there's two of us anyway. No, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 tells us that for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. It's not too hard to do if we just decide to set aside our inhibitions and focus more on Him than us. You know, one of the big things that we find ourselves doing, and I have to admit I do the same thing, is I'm often more concerned about how I am to someone else instead of how He is to someone else. And so that's just something, you know, no charge for that, just a little thought process there. Well, so you might wonder, so how do we do this? How do we become the light? How do we fit the job description for wanted bright lights? If you turn to Proverbs in chapter 6 and verse 20, Proverbs chapter 6, starting in verse 20, "My son, observe the commandment of your father, and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart and tie them around your neck. And when you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is light, and reproofs for discipline are the way of life." So now, we have a job position that's been advertised, bright lights. And we've just, the very basics of the job description, which is be a light that glorifies God and don't walk in darkness. I wonder, is that pretty easy to do? I'm thinking, yeah. I'm thinking, so far I can do this job. As a matter of fact, you might be thinking, hey, this looks like a job that I might want to apply for. But I don't know if I'm qualified for it. And so I'm not sure. I don't know. I'll look into it a little. I'll see. So, but we just read all we need to do. If we observe God's commandments, which is the word of God, not the law, by the way, and we don't forsake what we've been taught. Amen. How easy is that when the Holy Spirit is our teacher? And all we need to do is just take hold of the word and then draw on the Spirit of God to bring out what needs to be brought out at the time it needs to be brought out. I don't know what to say to people. I'm not sure. I had some things written down on a card once, but I lost the card. And I'm not sure now what to say. How about just say, hey, hi, my name's so-and-so, and I just want to meet you and tell you how much God loves you, and is there anything I can pray for you about? Oh, I can't do that. Why, they'd think I was crazy. You can't do that in the grocery store. You can't do that anywhere except at home in your prayer closet, because Jesus says go to your prayer closet. Yeah, but He also says come out of the closet, doesn't He? And so what we need to do then is we just need to understand that we're not speaking about laws here. We're just simply following the example of the CEO, Jesus. And there are a few more qualifications to this position, but we'll get to those a little bit later. So let me ask you, have you ever applied for a job and been asked to take a physical to see if you're able to do the job? Or have you ever had to take a drug screening test to see if you're drug-free. A lot of people do that. My thing is this. You need to go through some type of a screening, in a sense, to be a bright light. So let's look at, while we're here in Proverbs, let's just look up at verses 16 through 19 in the same chapter 6, because here's some process we're going to take a look at. These are the things that might possibly disqualify you, quote unquote. There are six things in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. There are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven which are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, and feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers. So these issues, in a sense, are the same in comparison as if you were found physically unprepared for the job you're applying for, or if they found drugs in your system during that drug screening process. So the reason I bring that up would because according to the world standards, most places would automatically disqualify you right on the spot. You're not physically capable. You have drugs in your system. We don't want somebody with that kind of background. And so according to the world standards, you're out. But Jesus, the CEO, he has a better way. Turn, please, if you would, to 1 John in chapter 1, verse 5. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Here we're seeing the requirements of the fellowship conditions, if you will, the employment conditions. And John writes and he says, "And this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." And verse 8, "If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And verse 10 says, "If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." So those who have never qualified for this position, those who are not part of the company, if you will, he's speaking about the things that we need to get right before we join the company. Once you've joined the company, all of that's taken care of. I mean, that's the good news. We don't have to confess our sin anymore in front of the CEO. He's dealt with all of our sin. Oh, sure, we want to think about the things we're doing right and the things we're doing wrong and make sure our path is straight and that we're walking pleasing before the Lord. But that's a whole different issue than being, carrying sin. We're cleansed from our sin. That's good news. That's actually shouting ground, but you don't have to shout. Would you want to? Could. On three. One, two, three. Woohoo! Okay. I knew you could do it. So now where are we? We've realized our drug problem, and we've taken steps not only to be cleansed or qualified, but through Jesus, our employer, our problem has been dealt with. And so we never have that issue to hinder us or hinder our job ever again. Such great news. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, and old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And one additional qualification that we have been freely given would be right there in that same chapter. Verse 21 says, "He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So moving right along here, we found a job that we might be interested in. We find that we can fit the job description. And what's more, we find that we have favor in the employer's eyes to the point that he wants us to work for him. And not only that, but he even helps us to qualify for the position. This gets easier as it goes on. Now, let's take a look at the health benefits. Because, you know, with today's rising health costs, we want to have a pretty good plan. Most companies today offer HMO, copay. They pay 80%, you pay 20%, and that's after your deductible, where you pay $1,500 for an individual or $3,000 for a family, or even more for the deductible. And wow, what if we had major surgery like, you know, a heart bypass or an organ transplant or even a piano transplant? Anyway, yeah, thank you. Anyway, or even things not so much. The point is that insurance keeps us so that we won't get wiped out or be in debt for many, many years to come because we have some insurance. But, you know, that still leaves all the little things and the deductibles that we have to take care of, the doctor visits, the prescriptions, the dental, the vision, all of those different things. And even those bills can sometimes be pretty costly. Amen? So I think it'd be prudent for us to look into how our employer might stack up to the world's system of health care. So first of all, let's look at the health plan itself. And I'm going to ask you to go there with me. You can find it. It's in the employee handbook under the section Isaiah 53. And so here we see in Isaiah chapter 53 in verse 4 through 6 in the employee handbook. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. And all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of all to fall on him. Wow. All. Would that include us? Are we all? Our iniquity fell on him. This particular part of the description of our health plan in the handbook covers every area of spirit, soul, and body. It's all right there in those few verses. So the basic health plan, we're not supposed to get sick in the first place. But even if we do, and let's face it, we do come under attack, but even if we do, we have more than a promise. We have a guarantee that we will be made well. It's a guarantee. It's right here. And by his scourging, we are healed. Well, what more than a guarantee do we need? Nothing. So how does that work? Let's turn again in the employee handbook to Mark chapter 16. And Mark chapter 16 and verses 17 and 18, again, we see the CEO speaking, writing these words. Mark 16, 17. And these signs will accompany those who have believed in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents. And if they drink any deadly poison, it shall not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So that's certainly a part of the health plan that we could count on. But by the way, if that's not enough for you, there's a clause in the employee handbook in case you need to see a specialist. And so if you would turn with me to the book of James in chapter 5, we'll take a look at that. In James chapter 5, we see in verses 14 and 15. Oh, by the way, I'm just passing through, and no charge for this, 1 Peter 2:24. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds we were healed. It's just there on my way to wherever I was going. James chapter 5. I went too far, that's why. Well, but I'm glad I did, aren't you? Okay. James chapter 5, verse 14. Is anyone among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they'll be forgiven. So we even have, you know, we even have a specialist we can go to. Now, you know, let me just take a minute here and say this. If you're attacked with symptoms in your body, here's how you lay hands on yourself. You don't need to go anywhere because you're right there. It's you. You can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And I know we like to, you know, go to other people and get help, and there's nothing wrong with that, praise God, because, you know, we're two or more touched in agreement. You know, I mean, it gets done. It seems to get done easier if somebody else is praying for you. But you can pray for yourself. It's okay. You can lay hands on yourself. Be healed in Jesus' name. And speak to your body. You know, we're talking about that. Pastor's been talking about that a lot with the men's group and here at church services as well, that we need to be speaking what God says, not what we see. And so it's so important that we learn, get a hold of it, and then walk it out. Be a bright light to yourself. Stand in front of the mirror and tell yourself how good looking you are. By the way, just in case you haven't heard this before, I'm so bright, my father calls me son. I promise not to be much longer. So now let's take a look. We've seen some things about the health plan that we have, which is an excellent plan. But what about the important day-to-day things like wages, the company's profit sharing, the retirement plan? True, you do have to invest in God's pension plan too. Just like you have to pay the company the 401k, you put money in, someday you get money back. With interest, you get more, right? But the benefits and the rates of return are beyond anything that you can get in any kind of worldly investing, including our present hot stock market. So back to Deuteronomy chapter 28, please. Let's take a look at some of that. In Deuteronomy 28 and verses 1 through 14, there's nothing I'm sharing tonight you haven't heard before. It's just good to review some things. And my thing is, I like steak enough to eat it more than once. Deuteronomy 28, chapter 1. Now it shall be, if you will diligently, which means to fully obey the Lord your God, diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all of his commandments, which I command you today. The Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the country, blessed shall, be the offspring of your body and the produce of your ground and the offspring of your beast and the increase of your herd and of your young flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. Now, I'm going to stop there just for the sake of time. But I'm going to ask you to finish reading your benefit package when you get home. And while you're reading that package, I'd like for you also to make note to read in the book of Mark chapter 10, verses 29 and 30. And Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Which both of those speak of the abundance promised by our employer if all we do is just walk out our job description. So, we see that we have the promise of good wages that meet our needs for today, as well as lots more being stored up for the future and even into our retirement. And I don't know about you, but everyone I know of so far, when they die, their retirement benefits stop. But not so with our employer. So let's turn back to the Gospel of John. John chapter 14. And let's look at verses 1 through 3. John 14, 1 through 3. I'll try not to go too far this time. There it is. John 14, 1, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. And if it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And quickly, another scripture I'd like to have you look at, which gives a partial description of the retirement village that we're going to live in, would be in the book of Revelation chapter 21. And in Revelation chapter 21, I'll start in verse 18. Oh, it's such a great chapter. You should read it all. I know we've been over that when Pastor taught Revelation last year, but it's, just read it and get excited about your retirement village. Verse 18 says, and the material of the wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundation stones of the city wall were adorned with every kind of precious stone. You know, let me just stop here for a second. Foundations. We all know there's measurements about the city. When John was there, they were giving him a rod, and he measured the city with an angel, and it was 1,500 miles long and 1,500 miles wide. So the head comes back 1,500 miles. That's 6,000 miles of foundation. That's like New York to California and California back to New York of foundation. Okay? And this is what the foundation has, 12 layers of precious stones. Not a bunch of stones mixed in for one foundation, 12 layers of 6,000 miles of precious stones. And so it starts out, then the foundation stones of the city wall were adorned with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation stone was jasper, and the second sapphire, and the third chalcedony, and the fourth emerald, and the fifth sardonyx, and the sixth sardius, and the seventh chrysolite, and the eighth was beryl, then topaz, the tenth chrysophase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the gates was a single pearl. You wouldn't want to run into that oyster. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. And I love this verse 22. It's the best part of the whole thing. And I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And look at this next verse. And the city has no need of a sun or a moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. What an amazing place. So my personal opinion, it looks to be a bit better than a Del Webb retirement community. Just saying. Finally, let's take a brief look at the stability of the company that we're going to consider working for. You know, there's all kinds of great claims for advertised guarantee of products. I'm sure you see them all the time on television. What I love about the advertising today on the products is you get one for $19.99, and then just we're going to give you another one for the same price, but there's extra for shipping and handling. But it's only $19.99 for two, and there's a guarantee. How many of us send those things back? I mean, think about it. By the time you pay the extra handling for the second one, and then you pay the handling to send them back, you know, it's not worth it. So the company knows that. And they prey on people by giving them that information, these great claims of advertised guarantee, and then it's a product that fails. And when we try to get a refund, either we're just too complacent to do it, or we find that because of poor quality or poor management, the company's out of business, they're no longer there. And sometimes people are promised major salaries. I wonder about all the professional football and basketball and baseball players that are promised. This guy that just signed up last year to play baseball for something like $43 million for 5 years or 6 years. What if the team goes out of business? Because he's not getting that 43 up front. So what we find is that companies go out of business and they can't be paid. But if you've looked into this particular company that I'm talking about, then it's not so with that employer, because from what I understand, he's going to be around for a long time. I think it's called eternity. And so our promise for that is found, actually, you don't need to turn there, but in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, the promise is Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Not only that, this is good. We never have to renegotiate our contract in order to stay with the company. Well, why is that? Because our contract is not an ordinary contract. Our employer can't break it because he wrote the contract in blood. So what is our guarantee that we get all of this and even much more than what I've talked about this evening when we join the company? As I begin to close, let's look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28. Just one scripture there. Hebrews 12, 28. And says this, therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. So that brings us back to the name of the job description that I began with, which is Wanted Bright Lights. Oh, here's just a bit more of that job description. If you would turn, please, to the book of Luke in chapter 1. I find this extremely interesting. It was written about another person, but it's also for us, because Luke chapter 1, verse 77 is the same prophetic word given about the call on the life of John the Baptist. And that call is to give his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. Goes on to say in verse 78, because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise, that's Jesus, from on high shall visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. That's all we're called to do. Certainly we can be a bright light and do that. I mean, it's just so simple. What are we doing? We're just telling people about how much God loves them. We're telling people how much God loves them and how much he cares for them and how much he will provide for them and bless them and bring into their life every single thing they need, spirit, soul, and body, if they'll just simply join the company. Well, interesting, by the way, the New Testament speaks of light almost 100 times. And remember earlier I said that there were additional qualifications that we have to have in order to get this job. Well, here's the qualification. In order, each employee must not only believe this declaration, it's a pledge, and then they can join the company. The declaration is, I believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16, of course you know that. And my last scripture then would be in the book of Romans, which we also need to declare. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9. And it says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Oh, and look at verse 11. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. So this is just really what I want to ask all of you this evening. Do you want to join the company? You know, that, I mean, that's really just, you know, I learned a long time ago in sales that if you have a product that is worth telling someone about, that you go tell them. And along with that, if you have a product that is needful to that person that you're talking to, you ask them, do they want one? If you're a salesman and you just present something but you don't say, do you want it, then you've only done half of what you're supposed to do. So I'm asking you, do you want to join the company this evening? And I'm sure most of you already belong to the company, but there might be one or two here that don't belong to the company yet, or maybe you've just joined and you're not sure about all these benefits. And I just want to tell you that if you want to work for the company and you want Jesus as your employer, all you have to do is be willing to be a bright light. And, of course, believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Invite him into your heart. So if there's anyone here this evening that has never done that and you would like to do that this evening, if you'd like to join the company and the company benefits, I haven't even touched on all of them. If I were to touch on everything, I'd be talking as long as Pastor. We're not filming this, are we? Okay, good. Anyway. Bless your hearts. Thanks for coming this evening. And with every eye closed and every head bowed, I'm not going to ask you to come down front. Pastor never does that. I don't think it's necessary. I think you need, right where you're seated, to ask Jesus to accept you as you invite him into your heart. And how easy is that? God, I've heard about this company and that you want bright lights. And Lord, I want to be one of those. So right now, I invite you into my heart. I thank you, Jesus, that you were willing to come and not only die for us, but show us how to live so that we would be pleasing in your sight and that we would usher many, many more into the kingdom of God. Lord, we know that you're long-suffering, and the reason that you've not returned yet is because there are more that you want into your kingdom. Help us to be part of those bright lights. And we thank you in advance. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to be our guide, our teacher, our comforter, so that as we go out, we don't go out in fear or worry, but we go out as a bright light to be a witness and a testimony to the sick, the lost, and the dying. In Jesus' name, amen.